Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the people, issues, and topics that are important to you. And certainly, ever since the pandemic hit the headlines, the world has been consumed with the fear that this novel coronavirus brought, the idea that the fatality rate, even though it stayed relatively low compared to the number of people who got coronavirus, still struck in seemingly random ways. And it was that fear of death that seemingly inspired a lot of people to give more thought of it. But would you believe this little factoid? Only 30% of Americans have a will or trust in place in case of our deaths. This even though it's a fact that each one of us will die someday. So why are there so many people who don't have anything in place to help their loved ones when the time comes? We're joined by our guest today from the Hammond Law Group. Hammond Law Group works solely in the areas of estate planning and related issues, and they see three primary challenges that most people have in getting their affairs in order. Catherine Hammond, the founder and president of the Hammond Law Group, is on the Vision Home Loans Newsline. Hi there, Catherine.
Good morning, Shannon.
Okay, Catherine, it's time to tackle this. And you know, we see it in our circle of people that are in our lives. Not everyone is fully prepared for that finality. And it's something you don't get a do-over for unless you are well prepared for what happens. Your loved ones will be left holding the bag, uncertain of which direction to go in, and it could bring long-term financial consequences to your heirs. So let's talk about the three biggest challenges in setting up your estate plan, okay? Why is it that so many people don't have any kind of estate plan in place?
Well, gosh, there are a lot of reasons, and I think it all gets summed up by saying that none of us really think something will happen to us, at least not today, right? Maybe tomorrow, but we don't think that something is going to happen to us yet. And that's where, you know, the pandemic has been a huge reminder, as you said, that none of us knows exactly how long we have. There are people who die in accidents on I-25 on a regular basis. I have multiple clients who have died of COVID, clients and their immediate family members, their children, anywhere from age 34 to age 80. None of us predicts that today is going to be our last day on the planet. And so we have some better things to do, we think, than to worry about getting our affairs in order.
Right, right. You can always procrastinate that, it seems like, even though you do so at your peril. Would you say that is the number one challenge keeping people from getting a will or trust or even making sure their medical directives are enshrined on paper?
Absolutely. You just used the P word, procrastination, putting off until tomorrow what we should be doing today. And the problem is tomorrow never quite gets here, right? It's always one more day away. But most people know that having some documents in place, whether it be, as you just said, the healthcare directives, the healthcare power of attorney so that somebody can make medical decisions for me. If I'm in an accident and incapacitated for a week or a month or a few months, having a will or a trust in place for when I die, people know that we need those things. People know that that will help their family. And a lot of people actually intend to get their estate planning documents put in place, any comprehensive estate plan done, but they never get around to it because we keep thinking that we have more time.
Yeah, yeah. Procrastination. Why is it that we are so good at procrastinating?
Yeah. Well, it comes down to thinking that we have more time, that we don't need to do it quite yet, and especially in an estate planning context. Again, everybody knows that we're going to die someday, but there are a lot of misconceptions about when you need the documents. And so a lot of people think, I don't need to have a will, I don't need medical directives, I don't need any of those things until I'm, you know, quote unquote, old, whatever old is. But real life happens to all of us. And so there is no right point at which you need to get your estate plan other than the day that you become an adult.
Even so, there are some people out there we know that they may not have certain assets. They may not own a home. They may not own a car. So is there a certain, I guess, threshold of assets that people need to have to do an estate plan? And is that, you know, kind of factor in there?
That's such an important question. There's no threshold for assets that determines when you need an estate plan. The only threshold is when you turn age 18 in Colorado. Once you're 18, when your child graduates high school, usually around age 18, you can no longer, let's say they go off to college, you can no longer find out any information about them. You can't call the school and find out about their grades. If they, and I've had this happen to a lot of people who've shared the story with me, if, God forbid, they get into a car accident and they land in the hospital, you can no longer call the hospital and find out whether or not your child is at that hospital, nor if they are there, how they're doing, because of the HIPAA rule. And so it's an age-based thing. Once we turn age 18, we need at least some bare minimum documents, like a financial power of attorney in case somebody cannot act on their own behalf and we need somebody to pay our bills and call the cable company and do things like that, the medical directives, so that somebody can make medical decisions, the universal HIPAA relief. But then as far as assets go, everybody who has any assets that you want to pass along to the next generation, if you want any say in who gets them or how they get them, then you need some sort of a document in place. For a number of people, a will is completely sufficient to accomplish your goals. And for a lot of people, a revocable living trust will better accomplish your goals. One of the primary thresholds there is whether or not you own real estate. Once you own real estate, your family's going to have to go through probate when you die. And so the people who don't want their families to have to deal with the probate process typically want to at least look at doing a revocable living trust so that their family won't have to deal with that. But you don't have to be a multimillionaire to really get a nice benefit from having a trust in place so that your family doesn't have to go through probate.
Right. Even if you don't have that, I know with a relative who passed away without a will, there was no way to access a checking account, which granted did not hold a lot, but at the same time was expected to pay for funeral expenses and things like that. And that was one thing that was held up because of a lack of will. So certainly you touch on a very important point for anyone listening to this. As you said, over the age of 18, it becomes an issue that there are certain things that can't be done unless you have those documents in place. All right. Well, we want to not give, we want to make sure that we give our listeners a sense of hope, a sense of where they can find these answers. Your website is a great place to start. Why don't you give that website to us?
You know, our website is ColoradoEstatePlan.com, and we have a number of articles and resources there and listings for upcoming webinars and workshops.
Okay, and we'll talk about those a little bit later on in this hour. We do need to take a short break. We're speaking to Catherine Hammond of the Hammond Law Group, and she's going to be continuing the conversation about what are challenges facing people in trying to get these documents in place. That's coming up as The Extra continues. Welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And today, the issue that we're talking about, an alarming statistic that just 30%, less than one out of three of us in America has a will or trust in place, even though we know death is a certainty. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but it will come. And Catherine, is that, tell us about, where did we get this fear of death?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because most of us feel so uncomfortable talking about death that we don't want to deal with it. There's almost a sense that if we come in and talk about it, then it will happen. And so people try to stay at a distance. And in order to do an estate plan, you have to bump into your own mortality. The conversations that we have in my office when people come in to talk about their estate plan and their needs sometimes touches on things that feel a little bit uncomfortable. And I have found that a lot of my clients, especially older clients, have gotten this fear of death, you know, from the time that they were young children. Just culturally, back in the day, folks were shielded from the fact if they had a parent who was dying, they weren't told that. Often they weren't allowed to see their deceased parent's body or even attend the funeral. They were never given an opportunity to say goodbye. Death was kind of kept in a closet, which is very different from how it is in other cultures. I have a client who is in his 50s with terminal cancer, and he was just telling me a couple of weeks ago that he had called the customer support line for his bank to close an account that he didn't use very much. And the customer service rep asked why he was closing his account. And so my client said it was because he said, I'm dying. And the customer service rep said, that's not a good reason. We're all dying.
Oh, no.
It's a very different culture.
Mm-hmm.
In India, where this customer service rep was located, they are in touch with the fact that we're all dying. It doesn't feel like something that they have to keep at a distance, because they are with it in a way that we're not.
Is that why you would say this is yet another of these challenges that we talked about, these obstacles that, even if they're in our minds, that keep people from getting an estate plan in place?
Absolutely. It's that discomfort with the whole topic of death keeps a lot of people from dealing with it. And I've had a number of people tell me over the years that they've been meaning to do it for a long time, but it just felt too uncomfortable.
Okay. So how do we overcome that? If it is something that is relatively widely shared, how do we overcome that so that, you know, our loved ones, you know, are protected in some way, at least from the, you know, financial and emotional implications of dealing with an estate without a plan in place?
Right. Well, I would encourage people to do something to overcome it, because the only other option, it's not like we can prevent our own death. And so the only other option is leaving your family with a big mess. So the two thoughts that I have about how to overcome that discomfort are, number one, finding an attorney who makes you feel really comfortable. Finding an attorney with whom you can have a conversation that feels warm and friendly. And that's important for now as you talk about these really important things. And it's important because the attorney is hopefully going to be the person who will still be around to help your family when something happens to you. And you want them to be somebody who makes your family feel comfortable. So working with somebody who makes you feel comfortable, and then focusing on the benefits for your family. It's hard enough to lose a loved one. It's even harder if they leave us a pile of practical and legal challenges. So remembering that even though it might feel a little bit uncomfortable to deal with this, the benefits far outweigh that temporary discomfort. And if you find a good attorney, once you get into the office and get into the process, we hear over and over again, when people leave just an initial consultation where we've just started to talk about getting a plan in place, they say, I feel so much better. I feel like there's this weight that has been on my shoulder for years and years, and I feel like it has lifted.
Right, right. Well, you know, we are planners in most respects. That's why, you know, sometimes when you're talking about that 30% statistic, that seems surprising, because, you know, the sale of planners, for instance, in the stationery stores has been going gangbusters. You know, everyone wants to do a planner in multicolors. So certain things we're fine planning with, but others, have this discomfort. Why is it so important to do something when it feels, you know, when brings on that anxiety and discomfort?
Yeah. If you don't do anything and you become incapacitated, either temporarily or permanently, your family will likely have to go to court. They'll have to involve lawyers and judges potentially for the rest of your life to get the power to pay your bills, to sell or refinance your house, to take care of even the most basic things. And that's whether you're married or not married. A lot of people think that if they're married, their spouse will just be able to take care of things on their behalf if they're, if they suffer a stroke or a brain injury or dementia, and that's just not true. So it's the legal system, if you become incapacitated, and then again when you die, the legal system kicks in as soon as you own any real estate or at least $74,000 worth of property.
And I'm sure it becomes even a little stickier when maybe someone has had kids in multiple marriages that might stand to inherit certain things. You know, knowing that there are plans in place can keep, that ship from going off course.
Oh, goodness. A lot of people accidentally disinherit their own children because they don't have a plan in place. Even if they have a will, they don't have a good comprehensive plan, because let's say you have a will that says, if I die, and you're in a blended family, your will says, if I die, I want 50% to go to my kids and 50% to go to my spouse. If everything is owned in joint tenancy with your spouse, your house, your bank accounts, et cetera, when you die, your kids get nothing and your spouse gets everything. And a lot of people accidentally do that to their own biological children.
Oh, interesting. And sad, too, because I'm assuming that most people would not want that to happen to their own children. All right. Catherine Hammond's website is ColoradoEstatePlan.com. And a little later on, we're going to be telling you about some of those workshops and webinars coming up that can help you get some questions answered. And we'll be back with more of The Extra after this break. We're going to take some time to bring you the news, traffic, and weather. Keep it right here on KRDO News Radio. And throughout this hour here on The Extra, we are talking to Catherine Hammond, who is the founder and president of Hammond Law Group. We're talking about estate planning, and we're talking about challenges that keep people from getting that will or trust or medical directive in place, or all of the above. And so we talked about challenge number one, procrastination. Challenge number two, a fear of death. And Catherine, what's the third challenge people have with getting those estate plan documents done?
The third large challenge that we see among a lot of people is not knowing who to turn to. Who is the right attorney to help you get your estate plan in place?
Okay. Does everyone need an attorney to do this?
I would say only if you want to make sure that it's done right. I have heard that there are books out there on do-it-yourself brain surgery and other things like that. I'm just kidding, of course. But it is very similar in a lot of ways. It's easy to think that you can just download a document. I've had clients come in who have downloaded even a power of attorney off of the internet and then discovered, once they needed to use it, that they had not downloaded the right one for their situation. And so now there's one situation I'm thinking of specifically where husband had Lou Gehrig's disease. And so they knew that he was going to become incapacitated. And they had downloaded this power of attorney, and it wasn't the right one. And so now that he's incapacitated, the power of attorney doesn't work. And so they had to go through the whole conservatorship and guardianship process. So, you know, probably $7,500 for something that could have cost a few hundred if they had only been willing to hire an attorney back in the first place. Even so, with wills, people don't understand. We talked a few minutes ago about what happens in blended families. The will doesn't make anything go where you want it to go if you own it in joint tenancy or have beneficiary designations. People don't understand how everything works together in the world of estate planning, and so the document doesn't take you where you are trying to get. With revocable living trusts, obviously a little bit more complicated, there are a number of attorneys who still don't get trusts right. there are, just like in the medical profession, there are people who really have expertise in estate planning and people who have a deep expertise. And there are people who have a little bit of expertise in estate planning and a little bit of expertise in bankruptcy and a little bit of expertise with divorce. And they're happy to do an estate plan for you, but they don't know the ins and outs of what could go wrong and how to prevent that. And so we see a lot of problems with estate plans that were created by attorneys as well. One of the big ones with trusts, in addition to things that that don't work well within the trust, just not having the trust funded. If you have a revocable living trust-based plan, just an empty theoretical box that sits there and holds whatever you own. If you don't transfer all of your assets into the trust, then it does you no good. We go to great lengths to help people make sure that all of their assets are owned by the trust so that they don't have things that are left out. They don't have to go through probate. Most attorneys just hand you the trust and say, good luck transferring everything in.
Interesting. So you need to actually take that step. So what are some tips that you have for, you know, how to go about choosing the right attorney? And, you know, I mean, try to keep it broad. We know that obviously you'd recommend yourself. We feel very strongly that you are a good representative of estate planning law. So that's why we talk to you every month. But why don't you tell us some ideas for picking the right attorney?
Yeah, thank you. And we do believe that we're very good at what we do. And we've been named best law firm in Colorado Springs on a number of occasions, and we're not the right firm for everybody. So it's important to find the right attorney for you. And that starts with identifying what's most important to you in choosing the right attorney. Is it the upfront cost? Some attorneys are less expensive, and there might be more costs either along the way or if you become incapacitated and when you die. Some attorneys are more expensive up front and then don't have additional costs down the road. How important is it to you to make sure, absolutely sure, that it's done right versus just having a document that says will or trust at the top? Do you want to have an ongoing relationship with your attorney? And that gives you a starting place for what to look for when you start interviewing attorneys.
Okay, so those interviews would be things where you would have questions for the attorney. Why don't you specify some of the questions that, you know, that would be good for people to ask, for people to have as they're checking whether this is the right attorney for them?
Yeah, some of the questions that I recommend are, do you focus your practice only on estate planning and related areas? Do you have a team that supports you? We've had a lot of people come to us over the years who worked with a solo attorney, and then that attorney had a medical issue or moved away or retired, and they had to start from scratch with a new attorney. So having a team and other attorneys in the firm is something that's important to a lot of our clients. Are there other attorneys in your practice who will take care of me if you retire or move away or have a medical issue? Hey, having that team in place, when people call my office, I am often in meetings during the day, but that's okay. My clients still get their questions answered quickly because I have a whole team of paralegals and support staff who can answer the questions. So if that's something that's important to you, interview your attorney about what that looks like on a daily basis. The biggest complaint that consumers have about lawyers is lack of communication.
And lack of responsiveness, I bet.
And
you need to have a team that is willing to be there for their missing teammates. Because I once had in our business, in the TV and radio business, they call them agents, and the agent would take off on a month's vacation every year around Thanksgiving, and I felt so bad when I would bug the assistant, and the assistant didn't make it seem like it was that pleasurable to be answering my questions. So you really need to have someone who is going to be, you know, responsible and responsive, I guess is the best word, in a pleasant way. We're talking with Catherine Hammond. Catherine Hammond of the Hammond Law Group. And again, the website, if you want to find out more information, Colorado Estate thepeopleplan.com. And up next in our final segment, we'll definitely be giving you that information about those webinars and workshops that are coming up. And we'll also talk about, you know, worst case scenarios. If you don't have those plans and documents in place, what happens? That's coming up as The Extra continues. Welcome to The Extra, the show connecting you to the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And every couple of months, we bring this guest on to talk about an issue that's important to all of us, because all of us eventually will meet our maker. We will die. Death is a certainty. And yet, just 30% of us are prepared for it by having the right financial and estate planning documents in place. Catherine Hammond is our guest from the Hammond Law Group. She is the founder and president of it. And if you would like to reach the Hammond Law Group, I'm going to give you a number now, 719-520-1474. You can also go on their website, coloradoestateplan.com. We'll be sharing more of that before the end of this show. But Catherine, we've talked about some of the obstacles, the challenges that get in people's way of getting these documents, these important documents and instruments is what they call them, right? Legal instruments in place. So we talked about procrastination, a fear of dying, as well as finding the right attorney. So when we talk about, you know, the obstacles, what happens to the 60% or so of us that right now don't have any of those documents in place? What happens when someone doesn't have an estate plan or any document or will in place?
Right. The problem comes if you become incapacitated, you get in an accident, you have a stroke, you develop dementia, and you don't have documents in place then, or when you die. And what happens most often if you don't have a plan in place is a big fat mess, including a legal process that we call probate. There's living probate if you're alive and incapacitated, and then there's death probate when you pass away. And that means when you die, if your assets have to go through probate, your assets are going to go to your children or whoever else is going to receive them outright. And that, I mean, first of all, if you don't have a will in place, it goes however the state decides for you. And then it goes to them immediately. And many young adult children are not ready to handle the kind of money that they inherit, and they spend it before they have, you know, enough financial maturity.
Judgment.
Or they, oh, goodness, or they lose half when they get divorced.
Mm.
And that is heartbreaking to see when you've worked your entire life to build up something to leave for your children, to see it then be lost to a future ex-spouse of your child. The other thing that we see a lot of when people don't have a plan in place is family fighting. People have different ideas about what mom would want in this situation. If there are difficult decisions that have to be made about her health care, people definitely have different ideas about what should happen when mom dies. It can become a disaster very quickly.
And what about, we know a lot of people end up going into nursing homes, and, you know, the cost of that depletes, you know, whatever money had been saved up, sometimes, you know, close to, you know, $500,000 or even $1 million by the time everything's said and done. Do estate plans protect the estate from, you know, from losing all the money through that process?
Yes. A good estate plan will include some sort of care towards how you're going to pay for long-term care if you need it. For people who don't have enough money to pay for unlimited long-term care, or who maybe don't have long-term care insurance, that's an important part of the planning. And for many people, we end up doing some sort of what we call Medicaid planning, making sure that you don't have to lose every single penny if you end up needing professional care, either in your home or in a care community.
Mm. And is that, that's one of the ways that estate planning can help your family. Why don't you expand on some of the other ways that this process, you know, brings a benefit?
Yeah. If I had to put it in a sentence, I would say it's to make sure that your hard-earned assets go to whom you want, when you want, how you want, with the least amount of hassle and expense. That's what it all comes down to. That's what we're all trying to do. Everything goes where I want, when I want, how I want, with the least amount of hassle and expense for my loved ones.
And you offer, I know, some opportunities for people to learn more about exactly what's needed for their families. Because as you said, you don't need to have a lot of assets for this to be an important part of your planning, too. You don't even need a house to make sure that you want to have some of these things in place. So let's talk about how people can find out more.
Yeah, I would invite the listeners to come to one of our upcoming webinars or workshops. We offer both options so that whatever is comfortable for you, you can attend. We do have in-person workshops on Tuesday, August 10th in the afternoon and evening, and then on Saturday, August 14th for those who would like to gather in person. For those who would like to sit behind their computer and watch a webinar, our next webinar is coming up on Thursday, August 5th. And all of those dates are on our website, which is coloradoestateplan.com, or you can call our office at 719-520-1474, and we would be happy to walk you through your options. We do that. We offer the education, and then we offer a free meeting with an attorney. People have found it really helpful to get all of that general information at the webinar or workshop. And then when we have the meeting, the free meeting with an attorney, we can dive right in and start, instead of having to educate you on the system and how everything works, we can dive right into your situation and give you specific recommendations, advice for your situation, which you are then free to either take or leave, whatever feels best for you.
Okay. Well, Catherine, we have about 30 seconds. What would you like to impart to people as we're leaving them on this very important topic?
The thing I most want people to know in this moment is once you take care of this, you will feel better. It feels like something that a lot of people don't want to deal with, but universally people say once they have come in and gotten their estate plan started, universally they feel like they can live freer, lighter, with less worry because they know that they have taken care of their family, both in life and in death.
Okay. Well, Catherine Hammond, always a pleasure and enlightening to talk to you. And I think it gooses us just a bit to take that step. If you already have planned for what happens after you pass, or even as you get perhaps critically ill, then you are ahead of the game. But if you have not, then hopefully this gets you to that point. And again, those workshops and webinars make it really easy for people to learn about this, learn what the costs are, what the consequences are of doing nothing, and hopefully take that journey, take that step to embarking on a more relieved future where they have that plan in place. Catherine, thank you again.
Thank you.
And again, if you'd like to reach Catherine Hammond's Law Group, it's 719-520-1474. You've been listening to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio.